Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew and chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we're just going to read a couple of verses here this morning as you turn there. Just as we are coming to an end of this Sermon on the Mount, we're going to read verse 13 and 14 and look at these two verses this morning where Jesus says this in verse 13 of chapter 7, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I want to start this morning by reading a very well-known poem by this man here. Levi, I'm going to have to get you to go back, because we're not working here this morning. You'll see him in just a minute. His name is Robert Frost. How many of you know that name, Robert Frost? How many of you know the poem, "The Road Less Taken," or "The Road Not Taken"? Does anyone know that poem? Okay, it goes something like this, and I'll read it for you. "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." It's a very well-known poem by this man, Robert Frost. And the thought of that poem is quite simple. Levi, if you'll go to the next picture. The thought is this, that Frost, and actually Frost, I was reading this week, apparently he meant this poem as a joke, that he was walking with a friend in the woods and he wrote this poem kind of as a silly thought, but it was actually, when it was published, when it came out, it was a very serious thought. And the thought was this: the road you take determines your destination. It's not a really deep thought, but it is true. The road you take determines your destination. Where you end up is based on and depends on the road that you choose. And in this poem, you can see there that Robert Frost came to a fork in the road. And in front of him were two different ways. He could either go this way or that way on the fork, but he must choose only one path. He could only go one way. And in the poem, he says, "I've gone so far, I'll never be back to that fork again. The choice I've made is the choice I've made." So you can choose one path, but you can't travel both. You have to choose one. And so he chooses the path that looks less traveled, less walked on. Now Jesus, as he finishes up here, this powerful Sermon on the Mount, and it has been powerful. I hope it has been for you as it has been for me. It's been transformative. These teachings of Jesus were radical, life-changing teachings. And as he finishes up the Sermon on the Mount, there is a call to action. And really, there should be in every sermon. It's not enough just to give truth. It's how you apply it. What do you do with this truth? And as Jesus concludes this sermon, the question, the call to action, is going to be something like this. Now, I've given you all of this truth. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? And he does this with a series of contrasting questions in the last few verses of Matthew chapter 7. Will you choose the narrow way or the broad way? Will you follow my teachings or the teachings of false teachers and false prophets around you? Will you be like the wise man who hears my word and does them, or will you be like the foolish man who ignores them and builds his house on the shifting sands, unprepared for the storms of life that come? You know, our life is really filled with decisions, isn't it? Every day we make decisions. What are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? What are we going to buy? Maybe some bigger decisions that we make in life. Where are we going to go to college? Who are we going to marry? What job, what occupation are we going to have? All of these decisions, some of them very trivial decisions, some of them very critical decisions that we make, some life-changing, some of great importance, but the reality is this: the greatest decision that you will ever make, the most critical decision that you can ever answer, question that you will ever answer in your life is this: what will you do with Jesus? Levi, if you'll put that up there. What will you do with Jesus? And Jesus is asking this very question at the end of the Sermon on the Mount: what are you going to do with me? How are you going to respond to all of these teachings? You know, it's amazing that all throughout the history, in God, in his sovereignty, has always given mankind choice. He's always given us choice. God desires all men to come to him. God spared no expense in making a way where men and women can come to him and know him. But he leaves the choice to us, and it has always been that way. We read it earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Israel is there in the wilderness, and the Lord instructed his people. He said this, we read it a minute ago: I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. There's two decisions, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. He says, I've given you these two options, these two decisions. I want you to choose life, but really it's up to you. You make the choice. Not long after that, Israel came into the promised land, and they conquered much of the nation. And near the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua again confronted the nation of Israel with this choice. He said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And he says this, and if it seem evil unto you this day to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, you need to make a choice. Who is it you're going to serve? Are you going to serve the Lord, or are you going to serve the gods on the other side of the Jordan? Years later, on Mount Carmel, Elijah proclaimed something very similar. He called out to the nation of Israel and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, follow him. Make a choice. In John 6, Jesus gives some very difficult teachings. Some of his disciples, those that were following him, not the inner 12, but others that were following him, turn and they walk away. And Jesus looks at his disciples, the 12 that were following him, and he said, will you also go away? You have a choice to make. Are you going to follow them, or are you going to stay with me? And that's when Simon said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. Where else can we go? But Jesus gave them a choice. God, throughout all of eternity, through all history, past, present, and future, and even this very morning, is giving us that choice. What are you going to do with Jesus? Will you trust him? Will you follow him? Will you enter the narrow gate and walk the straight way? Or will you reject him? and his words. Those are the only two choices that we are given. And this morning, the answer to that question, what will you do with Jesus, is an absolutely critical answer. It is of paramount importance because our entire eternity rests upon our answer to that question. How you answer this question, what your response is to the teachings and the person of Jesus Christ, will determine your entire destiny, your eternity, where you spend all of eternity. My desire this morning is that every person would be able to answer honestly this question before they leave here this morning. What have you done with Jesus? What is your response? And Jesus starts this final section here by contrasting the two competing ways that we can take. I want you to see a couple things here this morning. First of all, I want you to see that there are two possible directions in life. There are two possible directions in life. Let's read it again so we can see it in verse number 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus says here to his disciples and all of those that had gathered on that mountainside and listening to him teach, he says to them that there are only two possible directions, two roads that we can walk in life. There's the broad road and there is the narrow road. Those are the only two. And by the way, there are people today that will say, hey, there are many roads that you can take in life. There are many directions. There are many ways that you can take and all end up at the same spot. But Jesus says, no, there are only two. There's the broad way and the narrow way. You might say this morning that people might say, well, that's a very narrow view. And I suppose it is. But I'll take what Jesus says over the popular opinion of today. Jesus says there's only two ways. The broad way and the narrow way. What are those ways? First of all, I want you to see that there is a broad way. There is a broad way. Now, this word broad is used only one time in the New Testament, and it's here in this verse. The word broad has the idea of being spacious. It has the idea of being an easy road, a spacious road. It is a road that is wide open. It is not difficult to find. It is not difficult to walk. It is a road that is easy. It is attractive. It is open. It is inclusive. It is indulgent. It is permissive. It is self-oriented. It is a road that is easy and attractive. On this road, you can be whoever you want. On this road, you can live however you want. You can be your own person. You can call your own shots. You answer to nobody on this broad road. You can live your life to the fullest. It's your life. Live it how you want. There are few rules and regulations and restrictions on this road. Sin is tolerated. Truth is ignored. There is nobody to please but yourself. That is the broad way. And you might actually say this morning, well, that actually sounds pretty good. I can be my own boss. I can do my own thing. I can live life however I want. I can be in control. I like that. But the truth is this, you aren't really in control on this road. Ephesians chapter 2 says that all who walk this road are walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It is a road that is walked in complete defiance to God, but in complete slavery to the devil, to sin, to self. You are not in control on this road. And not only are you not in control, but also it is a road that is easy, yes, but it is a road that brings a lot of pain and misery and sorrow. See, the truth is, sin always destroys. Sin always leaves you hurting and broken. We got a magazine in the mail just a couple of days ago. I don't know if anyone else received this at home, but it's an Amazon magazine. Did anyone else get that? It's got all sorts of toys and all sorts of gadgets and everything that Amazon sells, and we got that in the mail. It's kind of like, how many of you remember the Sears book growing up? Does anyone remember that? There we go. That we used to get that and had all the toys in it. We'd go right to the toy section and look and see what we wanted to order. And I remember we had a little Sears store down the road that we would go to and order everything into there and go pick it up. Well, I guess Amazon is carrying that on now. Amazon sends out a booklet like that with all sorts of toys. But the thing we noticed, I was looking through it, and I mentioned to Amanda as I was looking through it, I said, you realize that there's no prices on any of these toys? And there's a reason that they do that. The reason is that so that you will want that thing, and then you will go and you'll buy it no matter what the price is. Once you finally get on Amazon, they don't give you the price up front. They don't tell you the cost up front so that you'll get hooked and then you'll go and you'll buy it. That's exactly what sin does. Sin never gives you the price up front. Sin never tells you how much you're going to pay. It never tells you how much it's going to cost you down the road, because it's always going to cost you more than you think it will. It's always going to be worse than you think it is. If you saw the price tag of sin, then you would never entertain the idea of doing it. But it hides the price tag. Sin shows you the momentary joy, but it never shows you the destruction and the sorrow and the pain and the misery behind the scenes that come along with it. There's an alternative to the broad road. Secondly, that is the narrow road. There is a narrow road. And this word narrow is an interesting word because it has the idea of a squeezing. In fact, this word was used for a grape press, where the grapes would be pressed together until the juice came out. It has the idea, this word narrow has the idea of being constricted, of being squeezed and pressed on every side. It's difficult. It is the complete opposite of the broad road. It is not an easy road. It is a difficult road. It is not a popular, well-traveled road. It is often a lonely, less-traveled road. It is not an easy, attractive road, but it is one that must be sought out and carefully followed. In fact, Jesus says of this road and of this gate in verse 14 that there be few that find it. And that implies to me that nobody walks this road by accident. It takes intentionality to look at this road, to follow it. It has to be sought out, diligently pursued. Luke chapter 13, parallel passage in verse 24 says this, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. The word strive, where he says strive to enter in at the narrow gate, that word is the Greek word agonizomai, where we get our English word agony from. It's telling us that there is some conscious, purposeful, intense effort in finding and walking this road. In fact, it's the same word that Paul uses for an athlete who competes for an event. He uses the same word for a soldier when he says, fight the good fight of faith. It's that there's a struggle and a difficulty involved in taking this road. And the point I'm making this morning is simply this. Following Jesus is not always easy. Following Jesus is going to cost you something. There is going to be difficulty along the way. Didn't Jesus himself say, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's not an easy life that Jesus is calling us to. He said, if someone's going to come after me, then let him sit down and count the cost and see whether it be worth it. Why? Because it is going to cost something. It is not easy. I think one of the problems, one of the greatest problems that we face in the church today, the not this specific church, but the church in general, you understand. I think one of the biggest problems that we face is out of convenient, comfortable Christianity. We want the best of both worlds. We want to be loved by the church and loved by the world at the same time. We want one foot on the narrow path and one foot on the broad path. Just enough Christianity to get to heaven, but no more. That's enough. And Jesus says, no, the narrow path is not an easy path. It is a path to self-denial. Yes, his yoke is easy and his burden is light, but that's because he walks on the narrow path beside us. It's not an easy path. I think of the words of the hymn written in the late 1700s by Isaac Watts. We'll sing this as we close this morning. But he wrote these words, and I want us to think on them as we read them out loud, maybe personalize them. He said, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. Oh, bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Listen, we have to put this idea to rest that salvation is just a get-out-of-jail-free card. That it's a way to escape the horrors of hell. It is that, but it is so much more. It is a repenting and a turning from our sin. It is a complete and total dependence and reliance upon God. It is a self-denial, a battle. It is not easy. Friends, if it was easy, it wouldn't be the narrow road. Can I remind you this morning that just because the majority is doing something doesn't mean it's right? The wide road is a popular road. It is the road of least resistance. It is the easy route. But Jesus says, you need to walk the narrow road. I think we realize this morning that we're living in a day and age where it's becoming increasingly difficult to be a Christian. And to take stands that the Bible gives us, and to stand on the truth of God's word. Because we are becoming, and we already are, a very small minority in this world. And it's only going to become increasingly so as the years go on. It's only going to become more and more difficult. And friends, people need to understand that. They need to sit down and count the cost. And decide whether they want to follow Jesus or not. There are two directions in life, but secondly, there are also two possible destinations. Two possible destinations. Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Verse 14, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. You say, well, you've talked about the broad road and the narrow road, and the broad road seems so much easier, so much nicer. Why would we take the road of hardship and difficulty and not the easy, popular broad road? Well, look at the destination. Look at where they end up. By the way, both of the roads have a destination. Both of them are taking you somewhere. But just as the roads are completely opposite, so are the destinations. Notice the destination of the broad road. Jesus says in verse 13 that it is a road that leads to destruction. Now, the word that Jesus uses there for destruction is the idea of total ruin and loss. Total destruction in a place called hell. The broad road is a road that leads to hell. Every person that chooses this road, that rejects the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, ends up in this place called hell. And the truth is this morning, a lot of people don't like to talk about hell. It's uncomfortable. But it's a reality. And the worst part of hell is not the fire. It's not the regret, the memories. It's not the anger, the pain, the misery, the suffering. The worst part of hell is that it's a separation between the sinner and the Savior for all of eternity. One commentator I read said this. He said, regardless of what men think, hell is real. And every second, lost souls drop off into the searing heat of that horrible place. He said, no matter how I tried, I could never adequately describe hell. But if I were to be able to exhaust all the vocabulary of English and paint word pictures that conveyed the truth of that place, the half would be told as to the horror that awaits everyone heading that place. A place from which there will never be deliverance. A place to which you will surely go if you choose to follow the broad and the easy road of life. He said, where will you end up? The broad road leads to destruction, but Jesus says the narrow road, the difficult road, leads to life. Just as I could never begin to explain to you the horrors of hell, I could also never begin to explain to you the glories of heaven. If hell is a place of horror and pain and separation and suffering, then heaven is a place of joy and rest and peace and unspeakable beauty and glory. Everything that hell isn't, heaven is. It is a place of no tears, no pain, no sorrow, no sin, no night, forever and ever with God and Jesus. Glory beyond what I can ever begin to explain. That is the end of the narrow road. James tells us that our life is like a vapor in light of eternity. Just a passing moment. Let me say this, the narrow road for a few years may be more difficult and hard. It may mean some self-denial. It may mean some persecution. It may mean some suffering for a while. The narrow road may mean going without what the rest of the world indulges in and enjoys. It may mean being misunderstood and maligned. When we get to heaven, the trials that we faced here on earth, we'll say, when we get to heaven, the journey over, finally home, we'll say, like the songwriter, it was worth it all. Someone said this week, and I don't remember who said it, but it was something like this. Well, they were looking at all the war and the suffering and the difficulty around us. They said this, for a Christian, this world is as close to hell as you are ever going to get. But for the unbeliever, this world is as close to heaven as you are ever going to get. Direction determines destination. So which path are you going to choose? Where are you going to end up? So thirdly, I want you to see this as we finish up here this morning, that there are two possible decisions that you can make. I said at the beginning of this message that God always gives us a choice. And here he gives us a choice. The choice is up to you. There's two gates. Two gates. And it's interesting, he only gives us the option of entering one of them. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. Why? Because we are born on the broad road. We don't have to choose anything to be on the broad road. We automatically are on that road. There's no choice being made to enter into the broad gate. When a person is born, they are born in sin, and they are on that broad road already. The choice then is, are you going to get off that road? Are you going to enter in at the narrow gate, the straight gate? Just a couple of things about that gate. First of all, Jesus says that there are few that find it. To me, that means it's not easy to find. It's not easily perceived. We have to search it out. We have to look for it. It's provided for us, but we have to enter it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. See, Jesus says, I am the narrow gate. I am the door. I am the way. People are searching for all sorts of ways to heaven. A recent Barna poll said that 99% of Americans who believe that there is a heaven believe they are going there. And yet so many haven't entered this narrow gate. They've come to the gate of their family and the gate of their church and the gate of good works, yet none of those gates give access to the narrow road. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the gate. He's the only access to that narrow road. There's one gate. Notice also, secondly, the gate is open. Jesus didn't say we had to make a gate or open a gate. There's no entry fee at this gate. You can't force it open. You can't break it open. It's already open. You just need to enter. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a totally free gift given to us by God. All we have to do is enter the gate. Just enter it. And then notice also that it must be entered now. I think the emphasis in this verse where Jesus says, enter ye in at the straight gate, the emphasis is on the immediacy. Do it now. Enter it now. Don't wait. Don't delay. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, not some other time. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed another day. Jesus says, enter the gate today. Don't wait. The gate will not always be open. So enter it now. See, the two choices this morning are these. Either we trust Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, for eternal life, or we reject him. Those are the only two options. There's no in between. You either trust him or you reject him. It has to be one of those. The question this morning is simply this: what path are you on? Are you on the broad way or the narrow way? If your life ended this morning, where would you end up? What is your destination? And let me just say this quickly as we close. For those of us that are on the narrow road, not by our good works, we know that, not by our goodness, but by the grace of God. Let me ask you this, as we contemplate this broad road and the narrow road, and we look at this world and all the difficulties and hardships that are around us, let me ask you this, what are we doing to get other men and women on that road? What are we doing to help others cross and enter at the straight gate? You know, I don't know how much longer Jesus is going to tarry. I don't know how much longer it's going to be before he comes. But I know this, the reason he hasn't come yet is because he's long-suffering. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The reason Jesus hasn't come yet is there are still souls that need to be saved. There are still many on that broad road that need to find the gate and enter the narrow path. There are still people that God wants to save. There are still people that God wants to rescue. As we walk the difficult, narrow path, understand this, that He is walking with you, and He has commissioned you to go and bring others with you. Life is short. Eternity is forever. The gate is still open, but there is coming a day when it will close. Where will you end up? Who have you brought with you?